Eagles and Eagle Watchers flock to the Chilkat Valley this week, and Skagway seniors work toward a permanent center. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Alaska will continue its court battle against a U.S. Forest Service policy that blocks logging in undeveloped areas of national forests. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia ruled Friday that the state can resume legal action against what's called the roadless rule. A lower court had thrown the case out, saying the state missed a key deadline. Tom Lenhart, the state attorney involved in the case, says it's back on track.
The Circuit Court of Appeals agrees that our case was filed timely, and they have remanded it back to the district court. So basically, we get to pick up our legal challenge where we left off in the district court.
Logging opponents say the Clinton-era roadless rule should remain on the books. It's been in and out of court several times. Buck Lindekugel is attorney for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council.
We're confident that the D.C. Circuit will ultimately find the roadless rule valid, just like both the Ninth and Tenth Circuits have already concluded. We are also taking a hard look at whether or not to seek a full court reviewing of last week's decision.
Roadless rule supporters say it's needed to protect old growth forests and salmon habitat. State officials say it's hurting the timber industry by blocking logging and road building. The suit was filed in 2011. In late September, as the last cruise ship departed Skagway and seasonal workers began trickling out of town, another transition took place, the transition of the Little Dipper's building to the Big Dipper's building. It's during that time the building sees a generational shift in its occupants from a daycare to a senior gathering place. Ginny Cochran is a daily user of the senior center. She's one of five volunteers who opens and closes the building each weekday afternoon. But with only a half dozen regular users, Cochran says more seniors need to realize what they're missing.
And we figure the senior population is about 10% of the whole population, and that's like 80 people. The problem is people don't want to be called a senior.
Cochran doesn't mind, though.
Heck no, I'm thankful for every day I get.
The center primarily serves as a social gathering place from 1 to 5 weekday afternoons between October and May. There's usually a jigsaw puzzle going, some people knitting, and Cochran says several people bring their laptops to the center where Wi-Fi is available. There's also a computer for use at the center. On Saturdays, a knitting group gathers in the morning and a cribbage group in the afternoon. Noticeably lacking is a kitchen. Southeast Senior Services provides daily lunch for seniors at the Presbyterian Church. To undertake the goal of getting Skagway seniors a year-round permanent location, former Mayor Stan Selmer formed an advisory committee about 2 years ago. He says he hoped the group would research funding options for a new building dedicated to seniors with a kitchen. He says he also hoped that having one would draw more seniors to use it.
Seniors getting some input on their own future is what everybody pretty much sets their goal to do. And I would think that the biggest goal to achieve is to stop having to move out of their location every year. And I think if they could get someplace permanent and consolidate their activities, then there's no reason in the world to think that their numbers wouldn't grow.
And he says unlike the daycare, which primarily serves seasonal workers and families, most seniors live in Skagway year-round.
We're such a seasonal community that there are some things that don't need to be seasonal. We don't need to show up at the Senior Center in January. We need to show up there January through December.
Cochran, who sits on the committee, says the group wants to create an inclusive place for the community, not just for seniors. A kitchen could be used for classes or by residents for things like canning, she says. And the building could serve the entire community by hosting small concerts or lectures. There's even the possibility of including some senior housing in the design to maximize the funding available for such projects. The group has been working with an architect on designing a new center. It's no secret the committee has been less than thrilled with the results so far. That topic has come up at assembly meetings. But Cochran says the group continues to work on creating a design. Until then, she'll continue going to the Big Dipper's building because she likes the company and activity and being involved in the community. She may even give you a lesson in knitting.
I live by myself, and I like the social aspect of it. I take my knitting. I'm willing to teach people to knit if they want to knit. You know, it's for me, it's a fun time.
The Big Dippers is open throughout the winter, each weekday from 1 to 5 p.m. Every year, thousands of bald eagles flock to a stretch of the Chilkat River about 20 miles north of Haines. That part of the river stays ice-free longer than the rest. The eagles fly there for a late chum salmon run. It's thought to be the largest gathering of eagles in the world. Dozens of people travel to witness the eagle gathering each year, filling up almost every motel room in Haines. The town holds a week-long bald eagle festival to capitalize on the influx of visitors. This year, it started on November 10th and ends on the 16th. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
Well, they have a fish, but and two more kind of flew in eyeing it, but so far the first guy still has it.
Laura Ferraro is standing on the edge of the Chilkat River watching bald eagles fish for salmon. Ferraro describes herself as a serious hobby photographer. She has a camera on a tripod in front of her with a huge lens.
Yeah, it's probably close to 2 feet long, so it's pretty heavy, probably 8.5 pounds just for the lens.
Ferraro is from Orange County, California. She's visited here once before to photograph the eagles.
They're a beautiful bird. They're, you know, they symbolize freedom, and it's really fun getting the interactions with them here when they try and steal the fish from each other.
Richard Barrett is standing several feet away from Ferraro with his own camera and tripod. He agrees that the eagles interacting with each other make for the best photographs.
Well, it's a majestic bird, isn't it? And, all the raptors are great birds to photograph. And if they're interacting with each other, then it's really spectacular to see. And then here we've got the fantastic mountain backdrop as well. So you've got a lot of ingredients to make a really nice photograph.
Barrett is an amateur photographer from the UK. He's planning to use some of the pictures he takes here in a wildlife calendar. Some people have less official plans for their eagle photos, such as
making everyone else envious they haven't been here.
Chris Clore traveled from Dallas with her twin sister, Michaela Davis, and their husbands, Duncan and Jack. They've been planning this trip for 3 years.
I mean, it sort of makes my heart beat fast. It's so pretty.
It's something that you don't see in the lower 48. You don't see all this beauty. So it's really nice. It's something different for us to see.
Flat where we live. We have no mountains. We have no snow. We don't have no bald eagles. We don't have any of this.
This year, there seem to be fewer bald eagles because the weather has been clear and sunny, and the rest of the Chilkat River isn't frozen over. But American Bald Eagle Foundation Executive Director Cheryl McRoberts says they've still counted more than 2,000 eagles along the river. This is the 20th year the foundation has held the Bald Eagle Festival.
We have people here this year from New Zealand, Africa, England.
McRoberts says 184 people registered for the festival. Throughout the week, the foundation holds eagle feedings, raptor presentations, lectures, and more. Dave Ulrud is the founder of the Bald Eagle Foundation. He helped advocate for the 48,000-acre Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve that was established by the state in 1982.
Well, every creature out there has a beautiful story to tell. And the bald eagle is a classic.
Ulrud says one reason people are interested in eagles is their power.
Ancient civilizations or old civilizations, what did they use to tell the story of their dominance or the power of their society? They used the eagle.
Back along the river, Heather Kelly from Whitehorse says she had never seen a bald eagle before she visited the Upperland Canal.
So to see one in real life is pretty neat.
I think it's rare for wildlife not to be scared of us, you know? Like most animals just avoid us so much that you just catch a short glimpse, but with the eagles, you can watch them for, you know, close up for a long time, they don't care.
That's Dave Thiessen, also from Whitehorse. What many of the photographers here hope for is that perfect picture.
I got a shot yesterday that I'm just thrilled to death with. It makes the entire trip worthwhile.
James Norman is an amateur photographer and retired lawyer from Virginia. He describes the picture.
Two eagles interacting, both in the air, claws extended, separated by an inch perhaps. Nice spray of backlit water behind them. I'm thrilled to death.
The Eagle Festival ends Sunday, but the migration of eagles and photographers to the Chilkat River will continue until the end of the salmon run around late December. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. We had reports from Emily Files and Ed Schoenfeld. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.
Hi, it's Steve Inskeep with Morning Edition from NPR News. The reality is that a lot of news organizations have gutted their staffs in recent years. A lot of newspapers have few reporters. A lot of other outlets make do with less. NPR News has stepped forward. NPR News has expanded our coverage over the years. NPR News has opened foreign bureaus around the world, and many local public radio stations are adding local reporters because of your support. Because of that support, KHNS is building your news team, launching new programs and new initiatives that focus on your community, and your gift today supports more of that. It ensures that local, straightforward reporting will be there for you and your community year-round in Haines, Skagway, and Clukwan. Make your donation today at khns.org. Thanks.